Praise the Lord. Welcome in, guys. Let's get Sunday school started and get into the Spirit with the rest of the group. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for your kind mercies that are new every day, the grace that the cross has afforded us. Thank you, Father, for the breath that we breathe, for the air that we have, Lord, our mental faculties that are functioning and our body which functions, Father. We thank you, Father. We don't take it lightly. It's so many things that we take for granted each and every day. Father, you are always at work, always for our good. God, bless the people that are coming. Give us safe journeys. We travel to and fro. Open our hearts while we're here. Let the word not only be heard, but let it be grounded and rooted in our hearts and grow and prosper, and so that we can walk as the men and women of God that we are called to be. Father, I hide myself behind you today. Empty this vessel of me, Father. Let you come forth in words and thoughts and deeds. Whatever it may be, Father, let the word of God come through me as you have given and seen fit for this, your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about, and if I could give it a title, we would simply just call it Nevertheless Moments. Nevertheless Moments. And this sermon, of course, came to me a long time ago, and God's given me the ability to write it out for you today. Where it came from was Jesus in the garden in Gethsemane. And we all have those moments in our lives that are pivotal moments. And sometimes we can look back and we see those moments where we made good decisions and they turned out well. And then we see the moments when we made not so good decisions and we're reaping the consequences of that pivotal moment and decision in our lives. Jesus, of course, was in the garden, Luke 22. He's praying, and he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we all experience those moments in our lives. We experience them day by day, hour by hour, sometimes second by second. We are put in situations where every decision that we do, every word that we say, every action and reaction that we have can be a nevertheless moment. Despite what I see, despite what I feel, despite what I know, despite what they're saying, I'm going to do this. And any time that we word inside with God's word, his way, his will, it always comes back for our good. Sometimes we see it right away. Sometimes we see the good right away. Sometimes it takes a while to see that this was a wise decision. Some of the people in the Bible that have nevertheless moments, Adam and Eve's the first one. Even though they knew better, here they were, eating from the fruit of the tree. So what does nevertheless mean? If you look at the definition, it says, even so, in spite of that. And we can apply that to our lives. We see people in the Bible that had good nevertheless moments and some that failed their nevertheless moments. Rahab was in the city of Jericho. She wasn't even an Israelite, yet she had a moment that she chose to protect the Israelite men that had come to spy out Jericho. Despite her losing her own life by her own countrymen, she put herself in that danger. This was a harlot, basically, who ended up being in the lineage of Jesus Christ because of one decision. One nevertheless moment, despite what my countrymen will do or think of me, I make this decision to stand with God's people. Read the story. She said, we know God has given you this land, meaning her land. So she decided, and not only did her decision cover her, but it covered everyone in her household. Because they said, when we come back, when we see the scarlet cord, everyone in that household would be saved. If anyone leaves this household, their blood is on their own hands. This week I posted in the leadership, hang to that scarlet cord. To us, it's the old rugged cross stained with blood of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, what he did for us. Because we are holding on to that hope, that promise, that salvation for ourselves, but for those we love. But Rahab, in that moment, made a decision and she hid those men and sent the other ones away, her own countrymen. That was a nevertheless moment. If you read the lineage of Jesus Christ, Rahab's part of that lineage. She married a man in the tribe, gave birth to this one, and the one that Ruth ended up marrying. And, you know, it just goes on. It's just great how that nevertheless moment can change and make such a difference, not only for you, but for generations to come. Joshua was another one. Joshua was one of the 12 spies that was sent over to look. And he come back with a favorable report. Only two had favorable reports. That was a nevertheless moment for him. Joshua ended up leading the Israelites once Moses passed. He had favor with God. He was one of the few. We can look at life of Moses. Moses had some pivotal, nevertheless, moments in his life. Well, first one we read about, of course, the favor of him being taken into Pharaoh's household. That wasn't his decision. To kill the Egyptian was his decision. That was a nevertheless moment. But he went into the wilderness, and there he spent time taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, and he met God. Even though you may have failed at your nevertheless moment, God is always seeking you out. He's always going to meet you where you're at. He's always looking for a way to get to you. Always. Take off your shoes, Moses, for the land that you're standing on is holy. I have a work for you to do. I have a work for you to do. The man who had murdered someone and raised in the house of Pharaoh, educated by the Egyptian government. I have a work for you to do. And even Moses then says, you know, I'm not able to speak. And they sent his brother-in-law with him. God's always making plans for us. Esther's a good example of a nevertheless moment. Haman told her, says, you may have been... who's to know that you're not here for just such a time as this? Esther had no family. Her parents were gone. She was being raised by what they believe and traditionally say is her uncle, taken away to be part of the king's court, whether she wanted to or not. Had her night with the king and was found favorable and made queen. But her people were in danger. And she asked... after her father, the only father she knew, her uncle had said, you know, you're here for such a time as this. Don't think that this won't affect you just because you live in the palace. So she makes the decision, let's fast, put the word out. We're going to fast for 3 days. And then I'll present myself to the king. Presenting yourself to the king unannounced is instant death. Can be instant death. She put on her robes after the third day, and she stands in the courtyard waiting to be presented to the king. And when the doors open and it's announced that she is there, he leans his scepter toward her. And thus the plan of God to save the people begins through her, a simple woman who made a decision and stepped out and said, nevertheless, even so, I may lose my life, but I'm going to do all that I can to help I'm going to do what I can, as her uncle said, at such a time as this. She sacrificed. She could have lost her life. That was, yeah, call. Sometimes our moments come to bring glory to God. Every one of these moments usually bring glory to God. It doesn't feel like it at the time. It doesn't even look like it to us in the natural. But sometimes you have to choose to die. And that's what it's all about. The nevertheless moment is not my will but thine. And I love to think about Lazarus. Lazarus was well loved by Jesus. Him and his sisters, Martha and Mary. But he was away when Lazarus fell sick. And they sent word to him and said, hey, look, you know, the one you love, he's not well. Can you come? Can you heal him? And it was within Jesus' power to do it and not even be there. He could have spoke the words and it had been happened. But he told his disciples, he said, it is supposed to be this way. He is dead. But it's going to be to glorify God. And I'm paraphrasing my own words in that scripture. But you can read it in John 11. Sometimes the nevertheless moment is just to die. Just to die. Die to self. Die to your own will. Die to your own ideas of what is right or wrong. When it goes, you know, die to whatever the Bible says is right. I have to, no matter what the world says, nevertheless, this is what God's word says. Nevertheless, sometimes dying is how God, and most of the time dying is how God does get the glory. As when you see and people see that what the normal was, something greater came out of the nevertheless moment in our lives. It's just simple. Sometimes it's just choosing right or wrong. Sometimes it's more. Sometimes it's a dying. A dying spiritually. A dying to your self-will. A dying to what the world thinks is correct. Sometimes it's just dying. But we always have a choice. God gave us free will. You can choose to be what you want. The Holy Spirit is here. He is to guide you, but he's not leading you. He's not tangling you up with rope and pulling you through. He says, this is the way. This is what God's word is. This is God's will for you. I've opened this door. I still have the choice to stand there and say, are you sure? Okay, then let's go. Even though I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going. And that's the most frustrating thing in the world, is not being able to see where the end is. But you're having that nevertheless moment. And I love to think about Paul and Silas in the jail. I heard a preacher talk about that a couple of Sundays ago, and it was a great revelation. Paul had this wonderful, in Acts, you can read it, he had this vision of a man calling him to come to Macedonia. And they were going to go somewhere else. After the dream, Paul says, nope, we're going to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit has showed me something. We need to go there. And needless to say, they turned the world upside down, or at least that town upside down at the time, and ended up in jail because they were doing what God told them to do. And while they're in jail, in the midnight hour, they start praising the Lord. Well, they can't tell what time it is. You know, they're in the deep, dark dungeon. It's just all dark to them. So they're just praising God in chains, whatever. You know, here we are, Lord. You know, we're just going to lift your name up. And the chains fall off. And the doors come open. And they're free. But they didn't move. And the jailer wakes up because of the earthquake or the rumble of what had happened. And he draws his sword out, and Paul says, don't kill yourself, we're all here. And he runs in and he counts them all, and they're all there. He said, what must I do to be saved? And the pastor said, you know what? I've always wondered why Paul and them didn't leave, because obviously God had opened the door for them to do that. But he says, I think it was the dream. He saw a man. And all this time when they were there, they were saving the households of Lydia and some of the other women that were in the time, but never a man had been mentioned. He says, I think Paul saw that man in his dream, and that's why they stayed in there. Nevertheless moments. I thought that was a wonderful idea. Wonderful, because I never really thought about it. Peter stepping out of the boat. We love to talk about Peter stepping out of the boat. That was a nevertheless moment. Could you imagine what the other disciples were thinking or saying? Are you crazy? Get out on that storm. First of all, they think Jesus is a ghost coming toward them. And Paul's like, and Peter's like, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. You know, who's going to speak to a ghost? Well, Peter did. He's a little bold. Peter was a little rough around all the edges, from what you can tell. But the faith it took for him to step out of that boat onto that wavy, stormy water and walk. Nevertheless moment. I said one time in a sermon, I wouldn't be turning around talking to these boys behind me because you all still in the boat. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus because here I am, and your life is the same way. He opens so many doors and he brings so many things to us, and it's our faith. If we put our trust in him and have the faith, we step out. And sometimes the waves are raging and people behind you are talking and they're saying unkind things, and the storm and the water and the lightning and the thunder. You just got to keep your eyes on him because you're walking through a nevertheless moment in your life. No matter what. But what's it all for? What's it all about? Let's go to James 1. Why do we have these moments? It's for our good. It's for the good of others, for us to be able to help others. You know, I love Peter. Peter had pivotal moments in his life. Besides that, he denied Jesus 3 times. That was a pivotal moment, a nevertheless moment in his life, and he fell into saving his own skin, as the enemy would say, skin for skin. But Jesus had told him, when you come back, strengthen the brothers. And you see him walking on the shores, and Peter and the disciples are in the water. Peter is the first one to get out of the boat and run to him. Another nevertheless moment. Here I am, Lord, I screwed up. That's not you. And all he can say to Peter is, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And the whole time he's feeding him the fish on the fire. Do you love me, Peter? He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, feed my lambs. 3 times, do you love me, Peter? He covers our sins all the time, doesn't he? Even when we miss the nevertheless moments in our lives, he's always reaching and trying to get us back to him because he never left us. What's it all about? Why do we have to go through all this? Why do we have to trials and tribulations and temptations? Why? Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but that's okay. Take heart. For I've overcome the world. And through him, I'm an overcomer. But James 1 and 2 says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And some says trials. I'll read another version. Count it all joy. How many times do you look at your trials and temptations and actually be glad about them? I can tell you mine's a big fat zero. I'm still perfecting this part of my life. I don't look at it in the right fashion. It's frustration. It's irritation. It makes me angry. It's a nevertheless moment that I still am trying to come through and be victorious in. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want to read you hang on here. The New Living Translation of those verses, it says, "Dear brother and sister, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." As I was writing this, I could see a lot of things in my life that weren't perfect and complete yet, that I'm still working on enduring, endurance and faith. So why do we have these? We are to be it's faith builders. It puts us in situations where God can show us Him, show His will, His love for you, His faith in you. It's a situation where it makes endurance. It helps you to grow into endurance. Strength. Endurance is strength and patience. I started looking up some of the words of these scriptures in the original Hebrew. The word for trial is temptation or testing. It means calamity or affliction. When count it all joy when you fall into these things, when these things happen to you, knowing that that the trying of your faith worketh patience, or endurance is the other word. It means you're remaining behind and you are steadfast. Remaining behind. Do you feel like sometimes you're remaining behind? That's a nevertheless moment. That's that moment you're having to say, "Okay, God, I know what you told me, but here I stand. I'm waiting for it. I've heard the prophecies. I know in my spirit what you've spoke to me, but here I stand, and I'm feeling left behind." That, my friend, is a nevertheless moment. Stand still. You're learning to endure with patience. It says, "If you will let patience have her perfect work, that you will be made perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I looked up that second perfect. It's a word that means having reached its end. It means it's over. The trial's over. The temptation's over with. You have fully grown was the other word. You are complete in Christ. It's completeness in Christ. Christ is character. Ooh. Perfect. Complete in this sentence in the Hebrew is a word that means sound or entire. If you're lacking in any of these situations, you're in a nevertheless moment. Stand still. Be patient. Wait. Endure. But we've got to endure correctly. Complete has the meaning, sound was the other meaning for it. And sound has several meanings. Sound is speech, what can be heard. Sound is ideas or impressions conveyed by character. Sound is in good condition, not damaged, nor injured, or diseased. Sound is correctly based on the reasons and the senses of judgment. To be sound, to be fully grown in the completeness of Christ's character, perfect. That's why we endure trials and temptations and tribulations. Do you want to be sound? What you hear from me is sound words. What you see from me is sound foundations. How I behave is sound. And it's based on God's word. That's the perfection we're looking for. That's what it's all about. Now, none of these come from God. None of these things come from God. If you read on down in James 1, it says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." We live in a sinful world. We live in a body that was brought in by the flesh, by sin, through the Adam and Eve's nevertheless moment that was failed. We're born into sin. But we're always striving, or should be, to be perfect and complete, sound and entire, full grown. We're just the growing pains. That's all it is growing pains. The great thing about growing pains, they don't last forever, do they? A child grows. They don't even remember their knees hurting, their joints hurting. Half of them don't even know what's going on. It's just growing pains. Do you remember yours? I don't. Some of us, though, are still going through those growing pains. God's given you the next opportunity to grow through this situation and be perfect, be sound, to be complete and entire. So count it all joy when you look at it that way. But it's hard to shove your emotions out of the way. Isn't it? I know it does me. My anger goes through the roof. Sometimes one word, one action, one disrespect. I'm like, Jesus, shut this lion's mouth, because she's about to devour and lose everything that she's worked her whole life to be, a child of God. I'm not saying it's easy, but I want you to remember that moment is a nevertheless moment. It's a nevertheless moment. Are you going to hide the spies and save your whole family because of the scarlet cord that's in your window? Or are you going to take a bite of that apple and suffer the consequences of sin? Nevertheless moments. We have them all the time. Some are more pivotal moments in our lives. Most will always reap consequences. Always. You may not see them today. May not see them tomorrow, but it'll show up somewhere down the line. Help us to remember, Father Jesus, those nevertheless moments. Not my will, but thine, Lord. Father, give us your wisdom and understanding as we go, as the days forward, Father, as the enemy comes against us, as our flesh rises up against us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to discern those moments, and help us to draw the strength that you have placed in us through the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness, sound mind, love, joy, peace, and the ability to trample on our enemy because of your victory, not ours. Father, we thank you for this word of encouragement. We thank you, Father, that you're always, always reaching for us, always showing us the things that we need, that you never leave us alone and you never leave us without your presence, without your wisdom, without your joy, without your peace, and without your protection. Father, thank you. When I think on those things, I can draw in a strength that's not my own, and realize that it's you in me, and I can overcome all because I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Have your way in the rest of this service today. Anoint those that sing and teach. God, whatever facet of the church that someone is operating in, let it be to glorify and edify you. Help those that are coming, Father, that don't know you. Let them see you in us. Not what the world has to offer, but what you have to offer. Wholeness, completeness, and total love. And we praise you and we thank you, Father. And we surrender to you, Father, and those that need us, for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.